cool scientist, Sean Duke, is here. Good morning to you, Sean.
I'm here anyway, yeah.
Yes, how's it going?
Good.
Author and journalist, of course, on the world of science. Cara Augustenburg will be into us later on.
Oh, great,
she's a professor of climate, of course, at UCD,
yeah.
And she's on the government advisory panel. She's going to be talking about air miles and things like that. But you've got a wider brief to talk about different aspects of what's going on in the world of science. And just one thing local that just to mention, Limerick Institute turning plastic into car parts. That seems to be a good idea to use all that junk and make it useful.
Absolutely. We produce a massive amount of it, as we know. 61 kilograms each of us, man, woman and child, per year in Ireland. We produce a lot more than our European neighbours. So it's a good thing that researchers at the Limerick Institute of Technology have come up with this new technology where they take the single-use plastic bottles, you know, for Coke or whatever it is, that just get chucked after one use, and they essentially have found a way to break those down into very small pieces, if you like, and to reconstitute them into very hard plastics that can be used in tractors and cars. So now, instead of having something that's a big problem that we have to watch, because there's 20 million tons per year in the world that is ending up in our seas and everything. So here's a way that we might be able to turn this into a raw material, something valuable that we can maybe reuse for the car industry. We can reduce litter, and also we can stop incineration or sending this stuff to landfill. So it's a great thing, really. So the Limerick Institute are to be commended for that.
Okay. How about this one? Men versus women is always an interest in that, but you do it from a science point of view. Women stay sharper than men in old age, presumably mental agility, because their brains are 4 years younger.
Yeah.
So explain that one to me.
It's a funny one, isn't it? But it's all part of this, that basically women are the stronger sex, not the weaker sex. That we have a situation where we might remember from biology, X's will make a woman, whereas an XY is what you need in genetic terms for a man, and that Y is our fatal Achilles heel. Sorry about the text coming through there. So essentially what we have here is we don't live as long as women, but now it seems that our brains are totally different. We have known that brains shrink as we get older. You have a smaller brain when you're 80 than when you're 20. But what this study has found is that there's a huge difference between men and women in terms of brain aging, and it's a 4-year difference. Now, they don't think that this actually is something that happens at, say, age 65 and then it accelerates. What is interesting is that it starts out that way. So at age 25, you have men, even young men, their brains are older, 4 years older than the women, even at that age. And that carries through right through until they get older. So it's something that's there throughout our life. And of course, it means that when we get to a certain point, that men are more prone to Alzheimer's and cognitive decline and all of those kind of things. And they haven't a notion why this is happening. They just have no notion, but they know it's happening because they've looked at the brains from the point of view of how the brain uses glucose. Glucose is energy, so the brain devours glucose. It really eats it up. And it does it in a slightly different way. Obviously, it uses less of it as we become cognitively in decline towards our elder years. So by looking at that in 205 men and women from the ages of 20 to 82, they've been able to determine the activity brain levels in all of those people. And now they're going to try and find out, like a lot of things in science, they found something very surprising. They don't know why. They're going to try and follow it up.
Right. I suppose it's a new area because, was it 200 or 300 years ago? I mean, everybody died in their 60s or something.
Absolutely,
So what's the 60 to 90 age group, this new one?
Yeah, because it's going to get bigger and bigger. I mean, we're going into an era where my children, a couple of years ago, there was an article saying that they're going to live on average in the Western world to the age 100. So I'll probably be long gone by then. But they're going to have to deal, unless we find a way to tackle Alzheimer's with drugs or lifestyle or whatever, we're going to have this huge population of older people that will be impaired, and a smaller and smaller number of productive age people trying to support them. So it's a massive issue.
Right. Now, this thing about gut bacteria, we've heard all sorts of articles about this that saying even your mental health and lots to do with your general health is dependent on what is going on in your gut.
Yeah. And we've one of the world's leading experts, actually, in Cork, I should say, a man called John Crine, who's one of the top, top people. But anyway, you know the way they used to say with depression that actually it's not your fault if you're depressed because it's the chemical imbalance in your brain. And we've all heard that at this stage. Well, now it seems like we might be getting to the point where we can say depression is not your fault because there's an imbalance of gut bacteria in your gut. So that, you know, there's too many, if you like, of bad bacteria or too few of good bacteria, and that actually is causing mental health problems. And this is research that's been building up and building up in recent years. This latest one is in The Guardian, where it was a major study in Belgium, and they found that low levels of one type of bacteria, Coprococcus, and another one called Dilyster, people with depression had consistently low levels of these two types of bacteria, whether they were taking antidepressants or not. So when they looked in a huge amount of people that had depression, they found that a huge number of those people had very low levels of these two types of bacteria. So there seems to be a link. Then what they wanted to do was to try and find out whether the bacteria could communicate with the brain, because obviously that has to happen if there's going to be an impact on mental health. And lo and behold, the scientists have found that actually, yes, bacteria can produce chemicals that are like little neurotransmitters that can stimulate serotonin and dopamine, which are the things that go into antidepressants, essentially, and which are lacking in people with depression. So it seems that we've co-evolved with these bacteria that can actually, they're like little antidepressants in our gut, and if they're working properly, they protect us against depression. And if for some reason, maybe lifestyle, maybe drug, alcohol abuse, bad diet, whatever it is, it gets knocked out of whack and you've got an imbalance, then you're prone to depression. So it looks like we're heading towards a future where we'll have these probiotics on the shelves where you'll be able to drink your bacteria that you need if you're prone to depression to keep yourself in
and
balance.
And there's tons of these things inside us, isn't there? I mean, there's tons, I know.
Yes. And you've heard about the slightly icky, horrible fecal transplants, have you?
What am I going to hear about now?
People that have a serious problem with it are now getting transplants of somebody else's bacteria en masse into their gut. Fecal transplants, they're called.
Oh,
and that actually, you take it from a healthy person, but it works, Declan. It sounds disgusting, but it works.
Yeah, and some people have said to me that, you know, taking capsules of probiotics, sometimes, you know, the acid going through the system and all that, that the bacteria doesn't actually reach the gut because it's all nuked before it does.
Did
you hear anything like that?
You do hear stuff like that, but also the main thing that you hear about probiotics is that how are they going to be regulated? If they're not regulated like a medicine, it's really hard to get a new medicine out there because it has to go through so many trials, as we know. But are you going to have probiotics that are full of these active ingredients where the rules are a bit lackadaisical and, you know, so I think we're going to see a tightening up on probiotics because they're going to be making claims about helping depression and everything. Will they
and
be classified? Are they a medicine or are they a food?
They're saying to put in about 30 billion of these things or something into you. But you need the good ones, whatever the good ones are.
You need the good
but
ones.
But the good ones to make your mental health good. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know the thing about you've butterflies in your stomach and that type of thing. Like in our culture, we do have an association with a feeling in our stomach with our emotions. We've known that for a long time. So science is actually just confirming this at this point. And, you know, we do feel anxiety in our gut or we have a gut feeling or stuff like that. But now it actually seems that if your gut bacteria aren't in balance, you really have a problem and you're going to be prone to mental health issues.
Right.
And not just depression, it seems even more serious ones.
Okay. Actually, just to tell you a good story that's coming in as well, about my favourite animals, such insects, bees. They can count. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
There you are now. They're beaters at maths.
Right. And I tell you, they're brilliant architects. You know, architects are copying insects as well, like termites and things like that, because they build in such a brilliant way that they say, for example, allow air to come into their termite hive, even in Texas. And they are actually learning now from nature that maybe we don't have to build in square shapes and square blocks. Let's look at nature and see what they do.
Excellent. Okay. Good man, Sean. Thanks very much indeed. What are you up to these days?
I'm writing a fair bit for the Irish Times, which is great. And I do radio. And I'm also writing my book, which is now halfway through. Takes a long time to write one. I'll tell you more about it maybe when I make a bit more progress.
Very good. Okay. That's the cool scientist, author and journalist, Sean Duke, on The Morning Show at East Coast FM.